Aloha everyone, I'm Mark Manantan, Director of Cybersecurity and Critical Technologies at the Pacific Forum. Welcome to the Indo-Pacific Current Presents Cyber ASEAN Conversations. This special podcast series, of course, highlights the conclusion of Cyber ASEAN, a two-year cyber capacity building initiative that aims to advance Southeast Asia's proactive role in strengthening its overall cybersecurity and resiliency posture. To help me mark the completion of the Cyber ASEAN framework, I am joined today by two of the most influential figures in cybersecurity in Southeast Asia and the Asia Pacific writ large. They also serve as senior advisors to Cyber ASEAN. Help me welcome Elina Noor, Senior Fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Kuichiro Sparke Kumiyama, Senior Researcher, the Keio Research Institute at SFC. Hi, Elina and Sparky. Welcome to the podcast. What do you think are the future trends that we should be watching for in the region and how we could ensure that consultations are there, that we could ensure trust building is there, given, again, the rising geopolitical tension, given the dramatic digital transformation where AI and big data are being used for cyber capabilities? How can we make ASEAN as a region more resilient and also with greater capacity? I know it's a big question. I can see that in both of your eyes already. But having been in this game for such a long time, what do you see would be at the most appropriate steps for the region?
Irina, can you go first?
Sure, I'll give it a stab. So I think, what we didn't talk about in terms of the threat landscape in Southeast Asia was the whole bucket around information and disinformation, which is sometimes treated as completely separate and different from cybersecurity. But I think that is one of the real concerns that many governments in Southeast Asia has, even civil society stakeholders, because it can literally rip apart nation. We've seen this, for example, in Myanmar and in India as well, a neighbor. I mean, setting that aside, I think these convergences between AI and cybersecurity, for example, as well as, let's not forget, we talk about cyberspace as if everything is in the cloud, right? But the infrastructure of cyber is very much physical, it's tangible, and 99%, well, depending on which figure you pick, 95 to 99% of our internet flows through submarine cables. And there is talk about using quantum or cryptographic keys in ensuring that the data that flows through submarine cables remains secure. And that goes to help the resilience of internet flows within any particular region. So I think it's important to think about cyber beyond just the abstract. We also need to be thinking about the infrastructure that supports the internet and cyberspace writ large. And Sparky and I were part of the commission, the GCSE. One of the norms that we tried to advance was the importance of protecting the public core of the internet. So not just kind of the physical infrastructure, including submarine cables, but things like packet routing, name and numbering system, those sorts of things that really underpin the functionality of cyberspace.
I think ASEAN may want to have a concrete target for cybersecurity cooperation. And I think what Arina just mentioned is one very good idea. It was a surprise in a good way. The Ministry of Labor statement last month mentioned the importance of cooperation for securing the physical infrastructure of internet, including subsea cable. But I think, first of all, ASEAN shares a lot with each other, where the region is already interdependent, such as electricity grids, energy supply, financial networks, and others. And I think one of the key challenge for ASEAN is how to secure the electricity grids because they are so independent. Singapore's electricity supply is dependent on their neighbor countries. And we all, ASEAN member states, are all relying on the stable infrastructure in Singapore. Securing the electricity grids or energy supply is a common interest for all AMS, ASEAN member states. And that could be the most easy to approach area for 10 member states. The other thing is, even they are one of 10 member states, Singapore, by any means, they are very different from 9 other ASEAN member states. The resources, technologies, and influence on global policy and others. So, Singapore's leadership, we highly appreciate it. At the same time, how they can align with 9 other member states is very difficult agenda because they are sitting in a very different stage. I think this project will have a consultation at or with Singapore in the future. That will be a very interesting discussion, which I also like to participate. So there's lots to discuss.
Yeah, and I think we started talking about your careers, and you brought up the importance of building relationships, and also Elena mentioned about these emerging trends, and cyber is not just digital, it's also physical, but also cyber is also human, right? And in Southeast Asia, there's really this well of young demographics, a very technically savvy population, but still it lacks, they lack access and also resources to participate meaningfully in, in not just in cybersecurity, but in the digital economy. And of course, digital inequity is a big issue in the region. As you've walked the halls of, different institutions and seated across some of the most influential figures in the world and contributed your influence in shaping the contours of the ICT, the fourth industrial revolution, what would you think are some of the important steps that ASEAN, Japan, and Australia can undertake in making sure that cybersecurity is an inclusive process, that cybersecurity provides an opportunity for everyone to participate and their voices to be heard?
Okay, I was going to say that, I don't know if I've managed to influence anything or anybody, because the things that I care about are being dismissed. And the things that I care about are, as you mentioned, Mark, the human elements of tech in general, but cyber, I think more specifically to this discussion. But it's not just human, right? I think there is a whole social context to anything digital that we often set aside in our discussions. And it goes beyond just humans. It goes also to the environment and tech's impact on the environment. These systems that we often think of in the cloud are, as I mentioned, as Sparky mentioned, they have a physical presence. And the only way they have this physical presence is through the extraction of minerals in the ground to manufacture these systems. The electricity that powers cyberspace is reliant mainly on fossil fuels in this region. As we transition to renewable energies, we need to also be thinking about the impact of that transition to local communities that who may or may not be displaced in the search for these renewable energies. So it's more than just about us, because I think one of the flaws of thinking about cybersecurity in an egocentric manner is, how do we protect the individual? Even if you're not egocentric, how do we protect the community? That's great, but I think we also need to be thinking about the community's relationship to the environment that sustains us in order for us to be present in the cloud.
So same here, I'm not shaping anything, although I'm fascinated to follow. And I like to add, in a multi-stakeholder conversation at Internet Governance Forum or OEWG, we see a very good representation from ASEAN government. But I always miss private sector's voice from ASEAN. When I travel to a country like Indonesia or Singapore, there are many Uber-like services or local Amazon, local online shopping sites, messaging application, and others. They are doing great. They are more, for some cases, they are more convenient, they are more handy than globally recognized services or companies. So, probably in the future of this project, we can focus on the ASEAN homegrown technologies and services, and really need to think how we can push those product attract more global users or more global user base, and that will ultimately help ASEAN's influence over global cyberspace governance discussion.
Thank you so much, Elena and Sparky. It's great working with you on this project. And that's a wrap for the Indo-Pacific Current Presents Cyber ASEAN Conversations. If you learned from this episode, please share it with your friends and colleagues, and you may check out the Indo-Pacific Current on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Stay updated and follow us on our social media accounts. Just search Pacific Forum on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You can, of course, access and download the Cyber ASEAN Report, Advancing Cyber Resiliency and Capacity in Southeast Asia, at cyberasean.pacforum.org. That's all for me. This is your host, Mark Manandan, for the special series of the Indo-Pacific Current Presents Cyber ASEAN Conversations.